वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम राम राम। So we're going to discuss today the last one. So we touched it last week also. What is not rasam? What is not the ultimate relishment that the Lord and His devotee enjoys in their mutual relationship? We discuss so many months how the relationship is established, primary five types and the secondary seven types, gauna rasa, mukha rasa. And then last week and today we are also going to discuss what is not rasa. What is apparently, it may appear like a rasa, but it is not rasa. Rasa means the relishment of transcendental mellow of love. And what causes it's not rasa, and what is the fault in it, and this discussion will take place by the course.
नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णकृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादिता सात्वदेशितारिणे जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे
हरे राम राम।
So we've been discussing, as Prabhu was mentioning, the combination of different rasas. There are five types of primary rasas, and there are seven types of secondary rasas. Rasa means taste, mellow, ecstatic experience. Different rasas can be combined together also. In a devotee's ecstatic interaction with Krishna and Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan, when these rasas combine, then one of the rasas is dominant, the other takes a back seat. The dominant rasa is nourished by this second rasa. So we saw many examples last time of the mixing of rasas. As Prabhu was saying, there is some type of mixing which actually is tasteful and which contributes to the ecstasy of the devotee that experiences. But there are other rasas that are distasteful and should not be combined together. And like I was mentioning the other day, Swarup Damodar, as secretary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his main job was to make sure that whatever compositions, poetic or prose, that were brought to him were screened properly for detecting any distasteful combinations of rasas. This is a really deep topic, of course, but it gives me great pleasure, I would say. I would admit to study this and discuss it with devotees. So let's see what we have for today. Probably today will be the second last class, and then the next time we'll have the last class. Just terminology. In the mixture of rasas, the primary or secondary rasa, which surpasses the other in taste, is known as the angi, Rupa Goswami is saying. So, okay, so Pranayana Prabhu wants me to reiterate the meaning of these words. So Rati is, the word Rati refers to, God, I have said this so many times, I'm going to say it again. It's almost like every lecture I keep saying, repeating myself. Anyway, so Rati is, refers to the mixture of Ladini Shakti and Samvit Shakti. That means bliss, spiritual bliss, and spiritual perceptive capacity or enabling capacity, perception. So this combination of Rati, of Ladini and Samvit, it normally exists in the spiritual world. It's Krishna's personal energy, potency. When the devotee has succeeded in his or her sadhana, and achieves the stage of bhava bhakti, which is the one step before prema, then this mixture descends from the spiritual world, from Krishna basically, and takes over the mind of the devotee in the material world. And it replaces the mind, the mind's dissolved, and in its place there is this combination of Ladini and Samvit. And this energy functions to give the devotee perception of Krishna. Because Krishna cannot be perceived with the material mind. We need Krishna's personal Swarup Shakti to be able to actually perceive Krishna. And so this potency functions to give the devotee perception of Krishna in a specific form, which is the devotee's desire. And that form, is part of what's called Alamban. So the Krishna is the support, Krishna is the object or Vishaya, object of the devotee's love or attention or focus, and the devotee is the shelter, ashray. There is also Uddipan. Uddipan is specific aspects of Krishna that give rise to ecstatic bliss in the devotee. So all these things come under vibhav. And then there is, so once this Rati descends, this Ladini and Samvit, the perception of Krishna in a specific form and in a specific relationship with the self, this is called the Sthayi Bhav. It's the permanent relationship that a devotee has with Krishna. Sthayi means permanent. The Sthayi Bhav is the source of Vibhav, Anubhav. Anubhav is ecstasy that a devotee experiences with some conscious intent mixed in it. All actions in the spiritual world which are consciously carried out are called anubhavs. So Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot is an anubhav.
For him.
For Krishna. That's right. Anybody who is doing anything, every act in the spiritual world is ecstasy. Right? So everything in the spiritual world, as far as my understanding goes, my perception goes, everything in the spiritual world can be, all actions can be analyzed or organized or classified into these different vibhavas, anubhav. There is sattvika bhav, which is ecstasy that overwhelms the body and beyond the devotee's control. So you have tears and choking and change of color and all kinds of things, fainting. But it's not in the control of the devotee, unlike the anubhav, where there is some conscious intent in an action. And then there is vyabhichari bhav, which I was about to discuss. Vyabhichari bhav is compared to the waves that rise and fall in the ocean. The ocean is the sthayi bhav. And then there are temporary emotions that come and go. It's very important to understand this vyabhichari bhav, because when we try to see what prema bhaktas say, sometimes we get bewildered. Prabhupada is a prema bhakta. And Prabhupada says certain things that we just can't compute. But we have to understand that everything Prabhupada says and does is also an act of ecstasy. And so sometimes there is a rise of some emotion in Prabhupada also, which functions as a vyabhichari bhava. There are 33 different vyabhichari bhavas, including Nirveda, all kinds of 33 vyabhichari bhavas. Self-disgust is one of them. So, you know, for example, Kunti prays, I don't know why I'm getting into this diversion. It's Sangha. I think I should focus, let me come back. So anyway, so there's vyabhichari bhavas, and all these three mix, anubhava, vyabhichari bhava, sattvika bhava, vibhava, and sthayi bhava. The mixture of these is called rasa. So as the experience of the devotee deepens and the ecstasy increases because of the function of this potency, the rati, the sthayi bhava, the relationship with Krishna and the devotee becomes deeper. And that gives rise to more bliss, more anubhavas, more sattvika bhavas. That feeds back to deepen the rati. So what's happening is that there is a positive feedback between rati and rasa, basically. The rasa, the experience of the taste, deepens the relationship, which gives rise to deeper experience, ecstatic experience, which deepens the relationship, and this continues infinitely. And as a result, that's why it's bhakti rasa amrita sindhu, it's an ocean, infinitely deepening rati, and as the rati becomes more and more condensed, it becomes prema. So from bhava one becomes on the prema platform, and then one can go up sneha, mana, raga, and so on, till mahabhava. Well, not all can go, but we also analyze that. There are different ratis, shanta, vatsalya, dasya, madhuri. And those ratis, their adhikar is up to a certain point, except madhurya, which goes all the way to mahabhava in Radharani and the gopis. Although in Radharani, the mahabhava takes the greatest it achieves the greatest depth in Radharani. Okay, so that's the background. Now let's begin. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. You want to say something?
This example that you mentioned. So to make lemonade, a simple example how to grasp it. To make a lemonade, perfect, tasty lemonade, what do you need? Come on, I need feedback. Huh? Lemons, thank you. That's enough?
Sugar.
Good.
Water. Ladle. Pitcher.
Salt. Yeah, you need a pot too. You can just... So, and then you can put also some camphor or some flavor. Smell good. They mix in India, they put some kind of grinding flavor. Now, if you have lemonade, but there is no lemon, how will it taste?
Like sugar syrup.
Sugar syrup. It's not a lemonade anymore. So, this, if you really think, this is very nice. It's technical, but it is applicable in our life. This is not just in the book. This whole subject matter today, this is practical. Why Prabhu mentioned this, that Gopal Acharya, a good example, Gopal Acharya, he is a Mayavad, and his brother is a pure devotee, is associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Bhagavan Acharya is pressuring Swarup Damodar Prabhu to listen Gopal Acharya's commentary. And after pressuring, at one point Swarup Damodar Prabhu wanted to hear. But in the lemonade, if you mix wrong recipe, not proper, it is not any more tasty. It's something else.
Oil,
very good. If you put in lemonade oil instead of sugar, I don't know. Probably horrible taste. Instead of lemon, if you put oil, that could be awesome. So that's really spoiled. So what happened? Swarup Damodar, as Prabhupada says, he is the private secretary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after, because of Bhagavan Acharya's pressure, Swarup Damodar Prabhu wrote, started to read. And as he read, just the introduction. Introduction means what is in the book, you will see, generally the writer, he gives a brief, flavor of what is in the book, just called introduction. So in the introduction of this, called Nandi Sloka, in his article, so when he read the first line of the first paragraph, there was a big mistake. He considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a living entity and Jagannath as a dead body. Just like this body is dead, the soul goes inside, and when soul goes inside, the body walks. So the wooden form of Jagannath is like a dead, and Lord Chaitanya is like a walking soul. And the soul will enter into Jagannath, then it will be good expression of God. Do we agree that? Will there be taste of thinking or imagining that form? That's offensive. It really destroy our whole existence of loving servant to Master Krishna. So Damodar got so angry and he said, we do not need to further read anymore. Just in the first line, there is a two offense created. First of all, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a living being, and neither Jagannath, wooden deity, is dal matter. It is pure Satchidananda body. Mahaprabhu is absolute truth, not a living being. So he committed two offense. So similarly, when we read any scriptures or any understanding, if we don't have proper understanding of absolute truth, and this pancha rasa, then we will may come across this type of, and we may accept it as tangible or something we should try for it. And we end up becoming something you don't want to think so bad. So this is a warning. It is for us every day apply. Because we are reading Krishna book, we are hearing Bhagavatam. This is all applicable to our day-to-day understanding. So you have to pay attention.
I actually found Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu personally useful for understanding Prabhupada.
That's another topic.
So, in the mixture of rasas, the primary or secondary rasa which surpasses the others in taste is known as the angi. So that's the dominant mood, a dominant rasa. The rasa which nourishes the angi rasa and takes on the nature of a vyabhichari bhava, temporary emotion, is the anga rasa. That's some terminology. We saw this last time also. Okay. I think this is repeating the same thing. So a secondary rasa which arises from a slight stimulus takes on the quality of a vyabhichari bhava, transitory emotion, and having nourished the primary rasa, then merges back into it. Okay? But a secondary rasa can also become the angi. It can become prominent. And we looked at examples last time when the secondary rasa was the angi and the primary rasa acted as the anga. So a secondary rasa becomes prominent, and then what does the primary rasa do? The primary relationship, it nourishes that secondary rasa, it recedes in strength, okay, and behaves as an angi, anga. So the example here, Rupa Goswami is getting at a very important point which I want to also emphasize. So let's see. So just as Vamana concealed his powers and nourished Indra, the primary rasa takes a secondary role and nourishes the secondary rasa which becomes strong. So the primary rasas are the five, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsara, Madhura. The secondary rasas are Krodha, what else? The seven secondary rasas. Hasya, Raudra, Vibhats. Yeah. So these are the different secondary rasas. One of those secondary rasas can become the predominant. Okay. Now, this is an important point. However, the primary rasa for a particular devotee, which manifests in the heart of a devotee by the power of beginningless experience, previous experiences, does not disappear as the vyabhichari bhavas or secondary rasas do. So, makes sense? The secondary rasas, if they are the anga, they will go away after some time. But when the secondary rasa becomes the dominant, hasya for example, laughter becomes dominant emotion, that doesn't mean that the primary rasa takes the back seat, maybe in Yashoda or Radharani. That doesn't mean that their primary rasa changes. It just recedes temporarily, but it's always there. And it's actually the source of these secondary rasas. This is interesting and important, I think, because many times we see people, now I'm applying it to just ordinary experience, devotees come, take up Krishna consciousness and then go away because of some experiences, give it up. Vyavichara bhavas of the 33, you know, there is depression, there is anger, there's all kinds of emotions that are present there. But the rati, the primary relationship with Krishna, never changes. So that's the characteristic of devotees in bhava and prema, is that they never, under any circumstances, give up their relationship with Krishna, their particular primary relationship with Krishna. Whatever the emotions and whatever the situation, that never goes. That's what Rupa Goswami is trying to emphasize. So that's the difference between a pure devotee and others. Okay. In combination of rasas, the primary rasa, which is the main angi rasa, by strengthening itself through supportive bhavas, which may be of the same variety or differing, remains independent. This is the main point. The primary rasa, which is revealed as one's own, for which the particular devotee is the constant ashraya, remains predominant in that devotee, that is, it remains the angi, and other primary rasas become angas. So even if another primary rasa became secondary or dominant, they will still, it won't change the devotee's primary rati. Okay. Let's see. Now he's going to talk about unfriendly mixtures. So we'll see how we shouldn't mix certain rasas, or some rasas should not mix. So he starts with an analogy. Unless anga rasas are useless anga rasas, that means secondary rasas, are like sweet nectar in which grass has accidentally fallen. In taking the nectar, one also must eat the grass and experience distaste. So, just as a sweet drink becomes distasteful by mixing with bitter or caustic tastes, the rasas become distasteful by mixing with inimical rasas. Here is an example. Distaste caused by a mixture of shanta with madhura rasa. So, this is somebody, a devotee who is praying to Krishna. Or expressing an emotion. Possessing Brahma Gyan, I have spent a long time in vows of extreme concentration. But I have not seen from the corner of my left eye the form of Brahman composed of concentrated bliss. So this is a major problem here. Because when you glance from the corner of your eyes, that's the result for the Madhura devotee. Radharani or the Gopi is looking at Krishna, Krishna looking at them. From the corner of the... but that's, you know, Madhura Bhava. Now, this is somebody who is focusing on Brahma Gyan, and now they're talking about Madhura. So this is Shanta mixing with Madhura, and it's not proper for somebody in Shanta to pray like that.
Yes. Why they glance at Krishna from the corner of the eye? Why not straight? Always you will see like this, huh? Because in Brajadham, Krishna's relationship with all the gopis are not actually based any relationship. There is no relationship. Mother Yashoda has a relationship. Coward boy has a relationship. What the unmarried girl relationship with the paramour, even in material world, there is no relationship. We say paramour, but paramour is not a relationship.
Illegitimate.
So, that, So they always fear that there is somebody watching them, that they are looking at Krishna. So they never look at straight to Krishna. They always look at like angle wise. They want to look, and Krishna also look at them like that. There's always kripa, kataksha from the glance. That's why Manmatha Manmatha, that verse in 10th canto, that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, Srimati Radhika always have a nervous feeling that her Gurujan is in front watching her. Because she is a very loving personality, so they are always watching. And then she is always surrounded by her gopi girls. So she keeps one eye to the Gurujan or elderly people, and the half of the eye to the Sakis and half eye Krishna's. How, I don't know, but this. So that's why it says glance. Glancing from the corner of the eye is an action of lover. This is what Braja Gopis are. Very nice.
Don't practice this
here. This is not okay, another example. Dasya with Madhura Rasa. Not proper mixing. So, my mind desires to see that Lord more affectionate. My mind desires to see that Lord more affectionate than a million fathers whose lotus feet are worshipped by the devatas and the sages, who is the Lord of Lakshmi and whose body shines with the nail marks of beautiful women. So that's an inappropriate mix, because the nail marks of beautiful women are Madhurya Rasa. And then, considering Krishna to be more affectionate than a million fathers, that's Dasya Bhava. His opulence, whose lotus feet are worshipped by devatas and sages, who is the Lord and Lakshmi. So there's a Dasya Bhava mixed with Madhurya. It doesn't make any sense to have this together. And the important thing is, we don't see such prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these prayers that have been composed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they obey these rules of not mixing, inappropriately mixing rasas.
So this is a warning for those writers also.
Those are the devotees who wants to write or express their feeling for the Lord. You have to be very careful. Don't mix like this. Krishna will be like thinking, who is this person? What he wants? He wants in a daisya mood. Like if Hanumanji, this never happened, I should not say Hanumanji, but still, if somebody thinks that I am a servant of God, and he says, God, when I went there, I beat them up, I killed all of these, what kind of servant are you? You follow, in front of master, you don't glorify your own power. Now as a coward boy, as a Shukra, you can do that. You understand the conflict? Like if they, as a servant, if he does, then the master Krishna will be thinking, is he like acting as a servant or is he acting, what are you doing? So there is a conflict. Every devotee likes to express their feeling to the Lord. When you express your feeling, make sure it is properly aligned with the devotional scriptures. If it is aligned with the scriptures, then it will be devotional. Krishna will pay attention. If it is not aligned with the scriptures, it will be maybe commotional, not devotional. And it's a fact.
So it is necessary we know what to express, how to express, what to write, or how to come to the Lord and express our feelings.
Yeah. Can I ask one question about this?
Underneath the conversation.
So, is this point here on this slide that Dasya and Madhura Rasa are always incompatible, or this particular expression of it is incompatible?
So, for a Dasya, Madhura Rasa is out of their domain. But for the Madhura, there might be Dasya now and then. So, because the Madhura combines all five rasas, it's also Shanta in there. So, but again, even that has to be properly done. So there are certain combinations of rasas that are inimical that might work under special circumstances, and we look at examples like that. But certainly a servitor has no business That's the sthalika.
It's very conflicting, no? It's very petty.
Yeah.
Even mundane way, if you like think like, it's very, not very
I was going to say, add to what you were saying, that that's why the safest bet is to just memorize some verses from the Bhagavatam and use those as prayer and say those as your prayers. Okay, another example. Sakhyaras with Vatsalaras in comparison. Oh friend, embrace me with your long arms, powerful as doorbolts. Oh Krishna, after smelling your head, I will play with you. Now, the smelling of the head is an act of affection of parents towards their sons in Vedic culture, at least in Brajadham. Not anymore, at least we don't see that here. So that doesn't make sense. The friend is not going to show Vatsala when he wants to play with Krishna. So, yes, question?
Same question, because we also hear of the elder friends of Krishna having some mixture of Vatsalya as secondary.
Like Balaram
and other elder
friends. They want to protect him.
Yeah. Right. And when they see him becoming tired, like who I remember you mentioning, that is a good example of the different kinds of sukhas. Because when Krishna is getting tired, how different cowherd boys respond, that shows what they're, are they pure sakya or mixed with dasya, Vatsalya like that. So I'm wondering, does this mean...
Or sakya with Vatsalya, in that particular
application or expression of that mood is inappropriate, but there is sakya in which sakya and Vatsalya can be mixed.
But see, even in sukha, when you're talking about this mix, in, for an example you mentioned that, even in that sukha, the predominating rasa, sthaibhav, is sukha. Sukha means the affection and possession comes so close that there is no distinction oya and reverence. It's lost. Oya and reverence is lost. Then it becomes so close. That's why it's a sukha. So that's the base. Then if you think like sukha, generally, those who were born few minutes before Krishna, they have a sukha predominating with the underlining little bit touch of dasa. Those who are born exactly same minute, same second, they are exact same equal level. They never can think. Even when Sudama heard that Indra and demigod, they worship in Krishna. So, after this whole thing is over, then all of a sudden Sridham came and Sridham says, "Hey, what's going on? Why are you sitting on the throne?" So he pulled Krishna out of the throne. He said on the Srinivasana, he said, "Come on, Krishna, do it." And then he wants Krishna to chamar him. And in the bushes, Indra and all the demigods say, "This is horrible. They pull Krishna out and tell Krishna to do the fanning to him. What kind of..." Then Indra was kind of a, has some idea. All quiet. Whatever make Lord happy, that's all it matters. Don't calculate what is right, what is wrong in our level. We'll never understand. He was right. I don't know how much he understand, but at least he was right at that point. He said, "Look, he's happy. Krishna is happy fanning him." And Madhumangal come, he said, "Yeah, fan me. You know, this should be my Vyasasana, not your Krishna." What kind of discussion? But that's sukha. But Dasya was watching and they felt disturbed. Adhikrita Das, they were demigods are called one of the four types of servant. Adhikrita Das, it does not go, I mean, in their sthai bhav. It's like it will disturb them forever. They will never probably can really grasp how can somebody act like this to Lord. But that's eternally there. But at the same time, when Krishna, literally, Jogamaya sees that Krishna is like wrestling for a while, and this daisho mixed sukha, they're feeling like, Lord needs, not Lord, my friend needs little rest. But the equal Priyasaka does not think that. Priyanarma Saka also does not think that. But the Saka they think. They think. So Jogamaya immediately create perspiration. Krishna doesn't need perspiration. He doesn't have a hose of water come out from his body, you know, like us. We dance and we see the sweating. I mean, we feel the sweating. But Krishna doesn't have a sweating like this. He doesn't need. But Jogamaya creates, so he experienced that. It is also true. So then he say, oh, I'm a little tired. Okay, then immediately they make a beautiful soft bath made of leaves. And then those sakas are massaging Krishna. And then Priyanarma Sakha will talk them some intimate pastime they did. And then all of a sudden some of the Priya Sakha who are equal, they will say, come on, why are you resting? We are not tired. Get up. We'll fight again. Okay, very unique. All of us, all of four Sakha, but little bit of touch is there. But those are actually nourishing. Those are not rasavas. Those are not rasavas. There's a big difference between this and that, those. Yes, please.
So in the Brahma Dhamahalaya, when Brahma bewildered because Brahma saw the Krishna taking the jatha from his cow, from his friend's cow, the boy's eating. And of course Brahma was bewildered. And after Brahma seeing, yeah, so Brahma after seeing all Krishna's expanse and everything, after that, is that, just to give the example of Lord Indra here, because Indra was also bewildered. So, in case of Brahma, Krishna saw him everything, he was the expansion and all that. But after that, when Brahma saw again Krishna with cowherd boys playing, Brahma was, can you tell something, what was it? Brahma, yeah, what was his mood and how was he?
Well, we can, I don't know whether he was satisfied. You can ask him.
No, but is it written in scripture somewhere, which is commentary, some commentary,
the
something
commentary,
is written?
The commentary, Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada gave, asked commentary about this, that how Brahmaji, because Brahmaji is the head of the Adhikrita Das also. So among the demigods, is one of the chief, main chief. Shiva is also Adhikrita Das. So Brahmaji's experience in Brahma Vimohan Lila, we can see that what Lord was relishing with the coward boys that bewildered Brahmaji, he was not on the ground yet. He was on a swan. He was watching everything what's going on. That they are sharing the food. And Sanatana Goswami Prabhupada writes that at one point when Krishna literally felt very thirsty, and no, first darshan of the Brahmaji was that he saw they are sharing the food. At that time, the last point the Brahmaji got bewildered, that when he asked little more buttermilk from the Madhu Mangal. And the Madhu Mangal, being a Brahman boy, he said, no, I cannot share it. You are Vaishya. So Brahmaji liked it. You know, like so he was kind of a, because he did not know this is his father or not. He's not sure yet. He just wanted to see whether this is his father, Narayan, or not. So then when Madhu Mangal drank the whole thing, but he could not swallow the whole thing. So Madhu Mangal is a little chubbier than Krishna. So his cheek all popped with the buttermilk. And Krishna went like this and all the milk came to his mouth. That actually turned off Brahmaji's understanding. So this is not my father. This cannot be my father. The remnants has a, you know, jota has a some kind of etiquette also. I mean, eating from directly from the mouth of another boy. So then where he decided, that's it, this is my creation. At that time Jogamaya also created. It's very interesting how the Jogamaya created that as Brahma thought, if I create a new grass ground, then I can divert the cows, and if I create the facility to hide those. So as he thought, a creation took place, but he didn't know actually Jogamaya created that for him. So that time, Brahmaji fell for it. And then after Brahmaji stole the calves, then the Krishna went, then the another illusion took place, that he was eating with the left hand, which is not a Vedic culture, and standing, walking. Walking, standing, nobody eats in Vedic culture. Even in Hindus, they never eat walking and eating. It's not proper. Even he knows, he's saying no. In India, nobody walks, and if you eat like sweet rice and eating, walking, people will think something not right. Generally, right? You know. Huh? Not anymore? Oh, Hare Krishna. I hope they don't give up that culture. But then Brahmaji fell for that, and then he took away the calf. Then when he came other side, then he fall another trap. Because when he went and looked for the calves, that time it was calves, not cows, and he could not find all the calves, and because Brahmaji stole it. Now after he could not find the calves, and he looked and looked and looked, and he started worry face. Brahmaji is watching his face. Then he stole the coward boys. After he stole the coward boys, then Krishna came this side, and he was surprised that the banana peel, lunch bag, beside the boys, even lunch bag, there has to be some kind of sign that they were sitting here, eating, you know, you eat banana, you throw the banana peel. Nothing. Brahma took everything away. There was no sign. So then he got bewildered again. Krishna got bewildered. Then Krishna even expressed, Madhumangal, Subal, this is not a time to play. I don't like this hide and seek game. Brahmaji is thinking, he is not God. He already checks every point. If he at least sarvagata, at least some omniscience should be there. He is thinking there are hide and seek play game. So for Brahma's point, all this took place is an illusion. But he was proving his superiority. He is still respecting Narayan as his father, but not this boy as Narayan. That actually rasa. It is not a rasa das. Because his adhikrita das is still maintained, his thai bhav is still maintained to Narayan. But what illusion he is experiencing from him and his angle, that I am causing some illusion, and I am creating this illusion of hiding the calves, hiding the coward boys. This is Jogamaya doing, but he thinking that he is doing it. So that time, that question is illusion, is not a rasavas. But then after he went to the Brahmapuri and came back, which took 1 year, after he came back, but in the entire scenery that he saw five scenery after that. After he came back, he saw five scenery one by one by one. There was nothing, no rasa was there. It was just illusion. Then he found himself that what he thought he's trying to put an illusion on top of Krishna and his, that actually was an illusion put on him. The first thing he saw that calves and the coward boys are still there in the cave, and Krishna having the same set there. And he even paid very close attention. It's like a duplicate. It's like exactly duplicate. Then he thought maybe in Vrindavan they have a duplicate things. But no. There was no duplicate or anything. It was like very surprised. That's what made him like little bit surprised. Then there is a verse in, I think 60 or 58, 13th chapter, 10th chapter. Jatra nisarga nirvaira soha asana nirmigadaya ajito avasa. That Brahmaji saw that python and the mice and the deer and lion, they are embracing and crying for the Lord. He thought, this is not my creation. No python and mice embrace and cry. They eat each other. The deer is eaten by the lion. Jatra nisarga nirvaira. Nirvaira, there is no enemy. This is not my creation. Then one by one, then he landed. Then one by one, then he saw that another scenario. Krishna is still after 1 year holding the chipped rice on his left hand and calling out. Then he got so bewildered, he wiped his eyes and then he landed down on the ground. Then he saw this, all the coward boys are eating with Krishna and sharing. He got very bewildered. What happened? Then the other three scenery took place that he saw actually that each banana peel, each even flower, everything that was there, lunch bag, everything, is itself, is a universe where Narayan, his father, is there with Lakshmi and everything. Each thing that he stole is actually expansion of Krishna himself. But there is no rasavas. It makes sense?
So, your point is well taken. In this case, I think we should understand this as equals. Because if there was Balaram there, who is slightly elder, who's also in friendship, who's slightly elder, then he could smell Krishna's head.
Yeah.
But, you know, still he wouldn't say, embrace me with your long arms and I'll play with you. It would still jar even with Balaram. But yes, Sakya can be mixed with Vatsala, and Sakya can be mixed with Dasya. For the ones that are younger, they are Dasya, and for the ones that are slightly younger and slightly elder, they are Vatsala. Mixed with Sakya. And we saw these things actually in detail before. Okay, then see. Vatsala with Dasya incomparable. So this will be an example of incompatibility. May my tongue rashly desire to address you as my son, whom the followers of Vedanta call the Param Brahman and whom the followers of Pancharatra call Vasudev. So here of course there is a strong undercurrent of jnana, you know, at least scriptural knowledge. Vedanta calls Param Brahman, Pancharatra calls Vasudeva, and I want to address you as my son. So this is kind of a problem.
This is not proper.
Because when you have Vatsalya Ras, then you can't have a son and at the same time consider him the Supreme Lord. Although it does happen with Vasudeva and Devaki at one point where they say, well, you are, but their knowledge, again, their Vatsalya Ras is mixed with Aishwarya again. So that's the difference. Anyway, but
just to break it, that Krishna and Balaram and Vasudeva and Devaki, their union could not take place. It's literally halt. Krishna and Balaram is thinking, they are my parents, but they are not calling us as a child. Devaki is thinking, oh, he killed Kamsa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, her idea of that Supreme Absolute Truth is here. How the child, Krishna, will think like, oh, mommy. That one act. So Jogamaya had to intervene and sprinkle some Vatsala Rasa on Devaki and Vasudeva. And then they forgot. They say, oh, my son. Then they, yes. So this is very nice.
The curious thing is that when it comes to Yashoda or Nanda Baba, or even the gopis, they know Krishna is the Supreme Lord. It's not like they are in ignorance.
But they hear.
This can happen in front of them, but still it doesn't affect it in any way. In fact, the converse happens. I don't know, I was reading this somewhere today. I don't know where I read this. Maybe it was Raghavartana Deepika. I think that's where it was. What Vishnu Chakravarti says in that book is that when Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj come to know of Krishna's supremacy, which they already know, but it suddenly comes to the fore, then that actually increases their Vatsalya Ras. In the Devaki and Nanda Baba and Vasudeva's case, it actually diminished it. But in the case of Yashoda, it increased. Even with the gopis, when the gopis find out that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then they become, their Madhurya Ras even increases even more. And the reason for it is, Vishnu Chakravarti gives the example that, oh, they think, wow, now the Supreme Lord is our lover. That's great. And that makes them even. So, Yeah, these rasas can interact in different ways, I guess.
Now one point to make sure that
when Devaki and Vasudev, in their final appearance as a Vasudev and Devaki, they were previously, they had a Sutapa, Krishnigarbha, then Kashyapa Aditi, they came to life and this is their final or third. But they always asked Supreme God to be their son. Now try to see the difference. When Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they never did the austerity but their expansion, Prakash, Drona and Dhara. When they did the meditation, when the Lord, same Brahmaji appeared, they asked specific, they did not ask God as their son. They asked a pure Vatsalya Prem for the Lord. It's different than the Lord as the son. Very subtle distinction. Our goal is not Krishna. Mahaprabhu did not say our goal is Krishna. Mahaprabhu says Bhagavan Sambandha in Chaitanya Chaitanya. Bhakti Avideya Haya Prema Prayajan Vede Tina Vastu Kaya. Mahaprabhu says, do not pray for God. Pray for love for God. Shoot for love. That we want to develop love for the Lord. Not for the Lord. Because Lord is already captured under the love. But your sthayi bhav, that love becomes the prominent. And this is what Braja means. Outside Braja, they may ask prayer for. But we are generally, the Hare Krishna people, we are interested for Braja Bhakti. Because Prabhupada quote that verse, Aradya Bhagavan, Brajesha Tanaya. He didn't say Bhagavan or something. He said, Brajesha Tanaya, tad dhama Vrindavana. Very specific if you look at it. So he says, Bhagavan Sambandha, your relationship with God, but your goal is not God. Prema Prayajan, goal is prem, love for God. Very specific. So that is what Nanda Yashoda has, prem. That's why Prabhupada mentioned very nice that when Mother Yashoda saw Krishna return from Dwarka, departure, that Krishna actually sat on her lap. And while Mother Yashoda is massaging his feet and he's asking as kind of like a humorous, hey, I heard they think you are God. Mother Yashoda asking Krishna. She feels actually is very tasty on her Vatsalya Ras. She's not thinking that, oh God, I said, she's still massaging, giving breast milk. They said, they think you are God. This is like funny.
I remember Vishnu Chakravarti explains that with an example, and I'm going to give an analogy based on the example. So for example, Obama, his mother is, you know, she finds out that Obama became president, so how is she going to react to that? She's going to feel proud of her son and she's going to, her you know, love for him, you can conceive, at least you can conceive it, that it could increase, yes. It could deepen. So, in the same way, that's the, kind of the example that Vishwanath Chakravarti were talking about.
Yes. This is also some of the same, but in similar, he says, well, I'm going to translate in a modern American English. You have a daughter who is so beautiful and Miss America. Miss America is also beautiful. Now if you say, my daughter looks like Miss America. And Bar says, if you say Miss America is my daughter. Do you know the difference? Of course. If you really think, Miss America is my daughter, and my daughter looks like Miss America, I'm not saying. There's a big difference. Big difference. Or you can say, my daughter became Miss America. Or Miss America is my daughter. There's a big difference. It's very, very good.
Okay. Although, you know, you don't want your daughter to be Miss America, but anyway. There is an upper or something problematic. Anyway. So, Vatsala rasa with Dasya rasa, we could finish this. Madhura rasa with Shanta rasa. Messenger, the splendors of newly blooming youth are fickle like the play of lightning. Therefore, today please arrange for Madhava to enjoy with me. So, this lightning, the play of lightning is the Shanta rasa aspect. And then, so you know, a lover of Krishna is not going to say things like that. You know, and then the next sentence, please arrange for Madhava to enjoy with me, that's kind of problematic. Okay, Madhura rasa with Vatsala. A desirous woman living in Kailash said, may you live long, which is something elders say to a son. And then she embraced Krishna with pleasure. This is problematic. If Vatsala rasa somehow or other contacts even a particle of Madhura rasa, as in the previous example, it becomes most distasteful. Even a particle of Madhura rasa is not allowed in Vatsala, naturally.
Also Madhura rasa, one of the Sanchari bhav is that regret, like in some of the Daisya Bhakta, they may have a khed or what do you call it? Disparagement. No, khed means disgusted. Disgusting feeling. Oh, that thought came, it's terrible. This is terrible. This is not good. They lament. You follow? But the gopi girls, they know that they have a paramount relationship with Krishna. They never ever regret, oh, that was wrong. Everybody understands. This is a very fine point. This is one of the two that is not there in the gopis. They never ever think it was something wrong. That I have a husband, I'm with Krishna, or something wrong. No, no, nothing wrong. They never think it is anything wrong.
I want to ask you about that. I've read, you know, in places where Radharani is saying, please, to Purnamasi, please save, I think it's a Vidarbha Madhav, please save me, you know, I'm a saint, I'm a girl from a pious family, you know, I have my elders, and, you know, I obey my elders, and this...
To increase her feeling, because she's feeling actually,
she's feeling to be 100% with Krishna, but this obstacle coming, so just same thing Mother Yashoda did also. She prayed to Narayan, oh, I'm so attached to my son, I think I'm queen of Brajadam, I think I'm wife of Nanda Maharaj. It's not that she doesn't want those, but she feels overwhelmed with this universal form in the mouth, it's like it could not put together. So, it's not that she really doesn't want Krishna as a mother. No, this is like an expression that she actually wants it, but this scenario is disturbing so much, she's like confused.
So then, the way I would reconcile what you said was that the primary rasa doesn't change.
Yes.
There could be a sanchari bhava,
yes,
where, you know, there is, oh, what am I doing? But it's temporary and it doesn't affect the primary rasa. This is the key point. That, so the parakiya madhurya bhava would continue to remain.
So, what is the because somebody complained they don't hear.
I see. So, we understand the other way around is rasa bhas, but madhurya ras is combination of, it has the all other rasas there, madhurya ras. So, person who is in, devotee who is in madhurya ras, he can also have some
she. Oh, he also, I guess, with the Priyanarmasaka.
See.
Yeah.
Vatsalya or Dasya.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So, okay. Those are Sanchari Bhava. They would act as Vyabhichari Bhavas.
Okay.
In the same way that we just discussed with the disgust aspect, how would the Vatsalya Bhava manifest in Madhurya? Because I'll go out on a limb here, but basically, you know, Krishna wants to eat something, rather than he feels, oh, he's hungry, let me make something. You know, that would be a symptom of Vatsalya Ras. So, yeah, she's cooking for him, but that's at the behest of Yashoda. So these different moods, they are sanctuaries, but they don't create distaste, they just nourish the original Madhurya. Okay, so, I think we're going to go two more lectures, which is okay with me, but we'll see. Madhurasa with Bibhatsa. Now this is combinations that are not acceptable with secondary rasas, primary and secondary rasas. I want to make the point here that Rasabhas is not being discussed right now. Rasabhas will come in the ninth wave. So these are just incompatible entirely. But Rasabhas, there seems to be some disagreement, as Rupa Goswami will point out, among the devotees and scholars about whether certain Rasabhasas are okay and others are not. So we'll come to that. But these are not okay at all. So they are distinct from Rasabhas. Madhur Rasa with Bibhatsa, or dark limb lover. Because of my body of blood and flesh, I am not suitable for you. Mercifully accept me, since I have been pierced by the arrow of your glance. This is ludicrous, you know. For the devotees to offer themselves to Krishna, even though they know they are disgusting, in Madhura Bhava makes no sense. They wouldn't offer themselves. Okay. Those knowledgeable of the scriptures concerning rasa understand other contrary rasas in the same way. Generally, this contradiction finally ends up as rasabhas. The word generally is used to indicate that some mixtures end up even lower than rasabhas. So, the point here is that some of them are completely unacceptable, like Vatsalya and Madhura. Some might end up in rasabhas. And maybe some rasabhasas are okay, but so we'll see that when we get to the ninth wave. Now, there can be combinations of unfriendly rasas which do not produce distaste, but actually produce taste under the following conditions. And we're going to look at examples of these. Where one of the two conflicting rasas is negated by a statement, where two conflicting rasas are present through remembrance, where two rasas are compared, where a friendly or neutral rasa intervenes between two conflicting rasas, and where the vishay or ashray or two conflicting rasas are different. It's quite amazing, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I'm amazed at this book, and I've been amazed for the last several lectures, for all the lectures we've been going through, at the level of detail and analysis and insight into something as complex as emotions. It's just unbelievable. In the following description, the conflicting rasa is negated from Vidagdha Madhava. This is a beautiful verse. So, the sage desires to withdraw his mind from sense objects and fix it just for a moment on Krishna. This is Shanta. But this young girl, this is Radharani, desires to withdraw her mind from that same Krishna and fix it upon sense objects. Oh, and then another Shanta example, another contrast example, negating Shanta. The yogi is eager to realize him in his heart even for a second, but this foolish girl desires to remove him from her heart completely. I'm going to show you some more, because there's some commentary on this particular verse. Let's see. Jiva Goswami says, the first half of the verse presents the determination of the sage and the young girl. Okay, withdrawing the mind from the sense objects, fixing it on Krishna is the sage. The girl wants to withdraw her mind from Krishna and fix on the sense objects. The second half of the verse presents the determination of a yogi who wants to see Krishna just for a moment, and the girl wants to remove him from her heart completely. The superiority of the young girl is clear here. That's the main point. That, you know, there is the superiority of Madhura Rasa here is being demonstrated as the supreme compared to the Shanta, and that will become clear. You don't know the context, the previous and the next verse, but I'm going to give you the context now. So, Rupa Goswami says, in the above verse, as a result of describing the superior nature of Madhura Rasa, Shanta Rasa is negated. Jiva Goswami says, in the previous verse, Parvanasi is saying this verse, by the way, who is the assistant in the confidential affairs of Radha and Madhu, and also a Tapaswini, she performed great austerities. She is Narad Muni's disciple. She appreciates both rasas. So because Parvanasi was a Tapaswini, when she was not in Vrajadhan, she studied under Narad Muni. She finished her tapasya. Then on Narad Muni's instruction, she went to Vrindavan to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. So she has an appreciation for Shanta Rasa, but she is also facilitating Krishna and Radha's madhurya pastimes. So she is expressing both in one verse. Normally they are contradictory, but she is showing the contrast here, and therefore it's okay. Shankara says is in accordance with the description of the sage. Madhura is expressed in accordance with the description of Radha, the young girl. Though the sage and yogi attempt to engage their minds in Krishna by the power of yoga, there is no effect. Radha, out of fear of transgressing dharma, by trying to prevent her mind from thinking of Krishna, only thinks of him more. Thus the position of the sage and the yogi is lowered and Radha's position is clearly elevated. However, because of the nature of the speaker, Purnamasi, no fault of distaste arises. But this is not always the case. That's the point. Not always the case. Rarely it happens that this can be done. Here is another example of allowable conflicts. This is memories producing two conflicting rasas. One is hasya, the other is karuna. Hasya is laughter, karuna is lamentation. So this memory is simultaneously producing lamentation and laughter. These are contradictory, but it's allowable in this case. So let's see. He used to make us laugh by comical pastimes, but today being pulled away by Kaliya and suffering in pain, he is making us lament. This is the demigods. Jiva Goswami says these are some lesser demigods. Not even high demigods, but low demigods. Because they don't have an affectionate nature, you know. The inhabitants of Raja display intense affection. They would not use words like comical, you know, for Krishna's pastimes. So these are not the words of Shiva or Brahma, because they know who Krishna is. Anyway, that's just an aside. Here are conflicting rasas used in comparisons which are allowable. O Radha, you appear to have realized Brahman, for you have given up the subtle body. You are devoid of seeing difference, devoid of the coverings of material nature and full of joy. This is nonsensical to say about Radharani, but the same verse can be explained in another way. The same verse can be translated as, O Radha, you repose with the 16 varieties of conjugal love. You are confirmed by direct perception since you are not concealed by the creepers and you are the personification of bliss. So,
two translations of the same verse. This is very interesting. This is very interesting. Generally, sometimes devotee may feel like to pray a concocted way, you know. We have to be very careful. This is not a proper prayer if we talk to Radharani like this. Excuse me, you don't have a material body. This is very interesting. I want to see that verse.
It's in the book, but I didn't copy it. A description such as, Jiva Goswami comments, a description such as this filled with a joking mood, so this is kind of a joking mood, that's why the conflicting rasa, is conducive for rasa, even though Shanta and Madhura are enemies. Thus it is used as an example.
I was saying, like previous logo, there is a funny joking pastimes of Narad Muni, that he was passing by those yogis and he gave them blessing, and those yogis are severe, performing severe austerity to have a little darshan of the Lord in the heart. And they are really seriously meditating, and Narad Muni just, after giving them mantra, he's flying over to Vrindavan, and then he was surprised, there's this yogi in Vrindavan. He could not believe it. He came down and he's always chanting, Radha Ramana Haribo. So as he landed, he realized this is a gopi girl. She is so much tormented in separation from Krishna, because Krishna left, went to Mathura. So she's thinking, today I'm going to meditate and take out Krishna from every cell of my body, every atoms, and take it out in one position and put him out. Then I will be happy. When Narad Muni plays the veena, of course, then she forgot, and meditation broke, and all Krishna went back to every atom of her body. And she said, I'm sorry, Narada, but I worked so hard to pull out all Krishna from my body to take her out. You just broke the meditation, and now Krishna all over me, more than before. So then Narad Muni is overwhelmed. Those yogis trying to find one moment darshan of the Lord.
and she is loaded with Krishna. You know, every atom Krishna is filled in her body, and she is trying to, like, in separation, this is a Sanchari Bhava, she is trying to pull out Krishna. She cannot tolerate the separation so much, she wants to see Krishna. This is like a hilarious, like, if you really literally think. So that's very applicable.
Also, there was the point Jiva Goswami makes that when Radharani is trying to remove Krishna by meditation, because she's thinking of him when she's trying to remove him, so she actually remembers him more. So, okay, here's another. Let's see what this is. Conflicting rasas using comparisons. Another example: Radha is like Shankarasa. She makes me sleepless. She makes my eyes unblinking. She makes me live in a mountain case, absorbed in meditation. So, I think this is Krishna speaking, and he's just expressing, he's comparing Radharani to Shantarasa, but her effect is that he's not able to sleep, you know, his eyes are open, and he's constantly meditating on her, so that's kind of the point here. So, it's still explaining Madhura Rasa, but with a comparison to Shanta. Now, there could be cases where there are two conflicting rasas, but another rasa intervenes between them and therefore it is okay, it kind of resolves the conflict. So this is an example. This is a conversation. I think the next Jiva Goswami explains that this is a conversation. I guess it doesn't say. Who are you? Somebody's asking. This is a lady, she says, I'm a person endowed with Shantarati. Why are you floating in the sky? In order to see the param brahma. Why have your eyes become so large? O Rambha, my heart has somehow become agitated by his astonishing beauty. I have now fallen in love. So what has happened is that this person is a Shanta Bhakta. She has no business expressing Madhura Bhava, but when she saw Krishna, her eyes became large, which is Adbhuta Rasa. So the Adbhuta Rasa intervened, and then because of that Adbhuta Rasa, now it is okay, because she has fallen in love with Krishna because of his astonishing beauty. And so there was a transition, and the transition is allowed.
Very sweet.
So Jiva Goswami's commentary is, the Shantarati of a woman is covered by astonishment at Krishna's beauty. This allows Madhurati to appear. The direct contact of Shantarati with Madhurati would create distaste. So for example, here, who are you? I'm a person with Shantarati. Why are you floating in the sky in order to see the Brahma? My heart has become agitated and now I'm falling in love. There has to be a transition. That would not be allowed. So, but by the intervention of Adbhuta Rasa, the combination is not forbidden. Direct contact of Shanta and Madhura is forbidden.
Yeah, or she can.
Yeah.
But this is only allowed when the two rasas are separated by another intervening rasa.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
This is very nice. Very good.
Conflicting rasas concerning different objects this is from the 10th canto. So this, the point here is, I thought I had a transition here, but I missed it. Anyway. So now what's happening is that there are rasas concerning different people. So there is Madhura Rasa for Krishna and Bibhatsa, disgust for common men. This is from the 10th canto, 10:60:45. Remember that the Bhagavatam does not have examples of contradictory or incorrect mixing of rasas. So this is allowed. Okay. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled, and thus she accepts as a husband or lover a living corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair and body hair and filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile and air.
Don't
say
this to yourself.
Don't try this at home. So the point here is that these are conflicting ideas where there is Madhura Rasa and there is complete Shanta, I mean Bibhatsa, this heavy Bibhatsa Rasa, disgust. But they are okay to be together because they are for different objects. The Madhura Rasa is being expressed for Krishna and the Vibhatsa is being expressed for the husband or lover who is not Krishna in the material world. madhya rasa towards Radha and vibhatsa rasa towards the moon and blue lotus from the Vidagdha Madhava. Again, these are contradictory rasas, but they are being expressed for different people, or different objects, different wishes. This is a beautiful verse also. Oh friend, as long as my eyes are absorbed in seeing the splendid beauty of Radha's face and her charming eyes, on remembering the moon and the blue lotus, my mouth curls up in disgust. So, vibhatsa and madhura. Differing ashrayas for vira and bhayanaka rasas. Now, we were talking about objects, but now these are shelters also. There could be different people who are experiencing the ecstasy also. Not the same person experiencing ecstasy towards two different people differently, but rather different people experiencing ecstasy towards the same person.
Vira means
chivalry. So vira means chivalry or fighting spirit, something like that. And bhayanak is fear. So seeing Krishna victorious as he enacted skillful fighting pastimes in the combat arena, this is in Mathura, the hairs of all his young friends stood on end in ecstasy. This is vira rasa. However, the complexions of Kamsa and other enemies became black with fear. So while these are not comparable, the viras are not afraid. You see, the vira and the bhayanak, they are not comparable. But because these are different shelters of the rasas, explained in one verse, it's okay. And the Bhagavatam has the famous verse here, like this, which talks about different yamalanas, so different verses in the same, different rasas in the same verse. And we'll see an example today. Oh, well, I don't know about today, but also. Even if the vishayas or ashrayas are different, if the conflicting rasas are both primary rasas, the result will be distasteful. This is important. So for example, Radharani and Krishna's Madhura Bhav in front of Balaram is a problem. Because Balaram is a primary rasa with Krishna of, you know, what's sakya but mixed with vatsala. So Krishna is careful about this. I don't want to take this detour, but I cannot resist it. Maybe a question for the devotees here. I was thinking this morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent away Nityananda Prabhu from Puri to Bengal for preaching. And at that time, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar were with him exclusively. And Mahaprabhu was experiencing extreme Madhura Bhav at that time. So is that the reason he sent away Nityananda Prabhu?
No, even those devotees stayed there, like Sarvam Bhattacharya, he never came in Gambhira.
They didn't come in Gambhira.
No.
But they would sing verses.
But even
they
Radha.
They would sing verses and they would provide Gambhira.
Not Sarvam Bhattacharya.
Sarup
Damodar, Ramananda Rai, they are actually supporting Mahaprabhu's relation. So those who are in that category, they were there.
But Nityananda Prabhu should not be there. So is that the reason he sent him to
Bengal? I don't know. That you have to ask Mahaprabhu when you see him. But generally, that conflicts, that will conflict. For sure. That's a good analogy. That will conflict. That's why Nityananda Prabhu, there is no record that Nityananda Prabhu went to Gambhira now in his ecstatic feeling. No. Even Sarvam Bhattacharya is not in that Madhur Ras expression.
Did I say Sarvam?
No, but I'm just giving him it. Because he was there. King Pratapudra, he was there. But he was not there with them. Sikhi Mahiti was there. Those who are in supporting of that rasa, they were there. And those who are actually conflicting with the Vatsala mood in that, they were not there present at all.
Anyway, that's my hypothesis, I guess. It just came to me this morning. Somebody was talking about, I think in Bhagavad class.
Yeah.
Or maybe yesterday. Okay, so even if the vishayas or ashrayas are different, if the conflicting rasas are both primary rasas, the result will be distasteful. So it's, what happened? Madhura rasa conflicting with dasya rasa, even though the vishayas are different. So, O father, unlock the door bolt without delay. I will go to the house of Sandipani Muni. My mind is attracted to the dark complexioned youth. So what's happening here is that the vishayas, these objects are different. One is the father. This is a daughter of some person there. In close to Sandipani Muni's house, I guess. And she is telling her father, that's the Dasyaras, you know, unlock the door. And then she's saying, I am attracted to Krishna. So these are two primary rasas in the same person at the same time, which are different primary rasas. You see what I'm saying?
Even in mundane level, you don't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying mundane we consider so much, but even in the material level, no girl, young girl would really express that kind of way. Everybody understands, this is like a conflict. Makes sense.
Jiva Goswami's commentary, Kashya is he's explaining the Sanskrit. The girl shows Dasya Rasa towards her father. By the strength of her feelings here, however, there's something wrong with the English here, I don't know what to make of this. There is no interference with her Madhura Rasa. I don't know what's being said. Whether it's allowed or it's not allowed. I expect it's not allowed. But anyway. Okay, moving on. Shanta Rasa of the speaker, so again, primary rasas, conflicting with Madhura Rasa of Rukmini. So this is the speaker of Shantarasa. When will my eyes serve the eternally blissful form of Parabrahman, whose chest is marked with the kumkum from Rukmini's breast? So, it sounds really horrible actually. So Jiva Goswami says Rukmini is the ashray of Madhura Rasa and the speaker is the ashray of Shantarasa. Both are primary rasas. Since the speaker is thinking of becoming a shelter of Madhura Rasa like Rukmini, there is fault.
Yes.
The speaker can't have Dasya and Madhura, Shanta and Madhura in him or her at the same time.
Everybody got it now. This like makes sense, practically. Huh? I mean, if you just put yourself as a Shanta, would you play like?
Some devotees whose hearts are attached to the path of Jnana do not consider it distasteful when the ashray of Shanta, Rasa, is different from the ashray of the conflicting Rasa, as in the previous example. However, just as there is a conjoining of two natural enemies for service to a common master, their king, there is no fault in the mixing of two conflicting Anga rasas for nourishing the Angi rasa. So what Rupa Goswami is saying is that mixing primary rasas is a problem when they are conflicting, but mixing secondary rasas when they are conflicting is not a problem. And we saw examples of that, like Sakya and Karuna. We saw mixed. Those things are allowed because he says they are natural enemies, but they are serving a common master, which is the Sthayi Bhava, or the primary rasa, the Angi. Angi, and therefore it's okay. So this is the principle. Yeah.
Like your mother Yashoda, even seeing Krishna, that coming to steal from his own house. It's very astonishing. She's like, but she's so charmed by this that actually that secondary anga was nourishing the primary her anga. So as the angi, she was relishing more than before. Even though it's conflicting, apparently, but it was very tasty.
So this is an example of. So now Rupa Goswami is giving an example of that, which is allowed. Veera and Bhayanaka rasa, these are two secondary rasas of the seven, and they are nourishing Vatsala in this case, Vatsala rasa. Dear Yashoda, this is Nanda Baba speaking, I think. I'm guessing, I'm not sure. But your son is softer than a jasmine flower, and Keshi demon is harder than a mountain. Because of this, my mind is quivering. This is Bhayanaka rasa. Let my son have all auspiciousness. Okay, this is Nanda Baba. So this is Vatsala. Let my son have all auspiciousness. Raising this pillar, I will pulverize this demon and make Gokula worthy of praise. So the last sentence is Veera. So all of these are okay.
He is good. Yeah. He actually nourishes
himself. Even though Veera and Bhayanaka are incompatible, like we saw another example with Sakya. So this is okay, Rupa Goswami is saying. But what's not okay is one person having two primary rasas with one anga and one angi, that becomes problematic. Okay, Verse 31 of this chapter is an example of Vatsala nourished by Hasya and Karuna, which are enemies. Now, I don't remember what verse. Oh, he gives it. Okay. So, here is an example of Vatsala Rasa being nourished by inimical secondary rasas. Laughter and lamentation. Contradictory, but okay, they're allowed because we'll see how. When perspiration became visible on the forehead of Krishna as he held up Govardhan in his left hand, Yashoda began trembling with fear, thinking that Govardhan would fall upon him. Her eyes opened wide with astonishment on seeing the boldness of a 7-year-old boy when he raised his left hand to lift the hill. But her cheeks were filled with laughter on seeing the playful expressions on his face as he smiled at his friends. So this is Hasya. Tears flowed from her eyes on seeing him with his left hand held high for 7 days. So this is lamentation, Karuna. Her cloth became wet as milk flowed from her breasts out of affection for her son. This is Vatsala. May this queen of Vraja protect the whole world. This verse is perfectly alright.
Is everybody understood? Is that okay? Mother Yashoda to think?
Yes.
Does she relish it? Yes. This increases her Vatsala rasa. It's not conflicting. It's not like pushing it down or contradicting her feeling. Rather, it's more nourishing. Very good. Even the four rasas are
there. Moreover, since in persons such as Yudhishthir, inimical rasas such as Dasya and Vatsala manifested two different times, there is no fault. Jiva Goswami comments, though there are combinations of inimical bhavas in Yudhishthir and others, such combinations are acceptable because they appear at different times, not at the same time. So they are okay. In Yudhishthira, there are seen a combination of Dasya, Vatsala and Sakya rasas. He has Dasya towards Krishna from knowledge that he is the Lord. He has Vatsala towards Krishna because he identifies himself as Krishna's elder. He has Sakya towards Krishna because he is not that much older. This is similar to Balaram, who has Vatsala and Sakya relationships with Krishna. There is fault if the rasas are unsuitable to the particular condition. However, in this case, there is no fault. In other unsuitable cases, there will be fault. Those combinations which appear contradictory in the Bhagavatam are resolved in the Bhagavat Sandarbha and Preeti Sandarbha. So apparently, there are certain rasas that might seem contradictory in the Bhagavatam, and Jiva Goswami has resolved the contradictions and explained that they are not in the Bhagavat Sandarbha and the Preeti Sandarbha.
Did he give that example?
I don't think he gave the example here.
Then let's take an example. Okay. For this. This is a very nice scenario if you look at it. Now, Lord Krishna just arrived in Yudhishthira Maharaj's palace after long journey from Dwarka to Maharaj Yudhishthira's palace. And he came with thousands and thousands of his parshad, antaraj, everybody. By seeing Lord Krishna after long separation, he went so overwhelmed that he immediately embraced and became just overwhelmed with everything with Krishna. And then he went with it. Have a seat. I missed you so much, Krishna. Put a garland and very nicely welcomed Krishna that way. Very nicely. Everything went on. After some time, he thought, what a horrible thing I did. I didn't wash his feet. He is Supreme Lord. Then he felt guilty. Now, it is not conflicting. You understand? It's not conflicting. It's rather nourishing. Then what he thought, oh my God, he is Krishna and I forgot to wash his feet. I did not respect him properly as a God. I just went embracing and which one was correct?
Both
are correct. There was not a conflicting. So he did also. He washed Krishna's feet and offered him prayers and others. So all these three, because in spiritual world everything is calculated by your sthayi bhav, but the sthayi bhav also makes you form 11 things. Makes you form your name, your age. Like if Yudhishthira Maharaj was born little before Krishna, by the age, older than Krishna. So in that
category, he has a Vatsalya. But he has a Sankul. Sankul means he's a consists of three together all the time. And it doesn't conflict, it's rather nourishes.
So that's why this is a very good example.
Though in Adhirudha Mahabhav, so now we talk about Radharani or the gopis, all the inimical rasas mixed together, there is no distastefulness. This has already been shown in relation to the Madhura rasa of Radha and Krishna. We discussed this some time ago. I don't actually recall us noticing this, but that we, you know, there are different, do you remember, different inimical rasas? I don't think we discussed this.
Even though inimical rasa may be found,
generally you have, after prema, then you have a sneha, mana, raga, sneha, mana, pranaya, raga, anuraga, then bhava, then mahabhava. Then mahabhava has a madana, mohana. Then it has a further, rura and adirura. The Adirura has these two divisions. These two divisions, there is a conflicting actually. Looks like a competition, enemy and all these. But those are actually all tasteful. This has nothing to do with the rasa bhasa, uparasa, aparasa. It's not applicable here. This is exclusive. Because over there, amongst the gopis, this feeling is there. That even
anger,
yeah, like a Krishna, after long time, he finally came. And Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Devi, they are the gatekeeper of this beautiful kunja. And Radharani is in Man. She's crying and crying and crying. And then one side Lalita Sakhi and another side Vishakha Devi, and Krishna comes. I'm sorry, you know, I just didn't realize, I just went, I was so tired, I just went to sleep and I forgot at what time I'm supposed to be here. Lalita says, I'm sorry, you're not allowed. What do you mean? I just fell asleep. So, this, apparently, that there is a special messenger of Krishna called Shyamaduti. They're like an angel. Or not only Christian idea, but this is there in Vrindavan also. There is an angel. They literally fly all over and they know exactly what happened, where Krishna was, everything, and everything is being recorded amongst them. Like a spy. Krishna is a whole spy. Radhani has a whole spy. Chandavali has a whole spy. So there seems like enemy, envy, all this apparently it's like contradicting, but they are not distasteful. It is 100% tasteful. Because of the time, but next week we'll give you more example. But we'll go further this morning.
So in Adhirudha Mahabhav, all the inimical vessels mixed together, there is no distastefulness. So this Mahabhav is something that, you know, subsumes, consumes all the everything else. This has already been shown, he says, but I don't recall where we discussed this. Sometimes the combination of all rasas sometimes the combination of all rasas appears, producing an even greater taste for Krishna. The combination of all great persons who is endowed with inconceivably great powers. Jiva Goswami says, generally when Krishna is the vishaya of various rasas for different individuals, there is no decrease in the taste. But even when Krishna is the ashraya of all rasas, the combination manifests greater taste and thus the rasas do not restrict each other. Example, Krishna is the vishaya of all rasas from Lalita Madhava. Beautiful verse. Seeing Krishna in the combat arena, the priests of Kamsa showed disgust on their faces. Vibhatsa. The wrestlers became red with anger. Raudra. The cheeks of Krishna's friends raised up with smiles. Hasya Sakya. The evil rulers became senseless, Bhayanaka. The sages became fixed in meditation, Shanta. The mothers wept with hot tears, Karuna, Vatsala. The expert warriors' hairs stood on end, Veera, the Devatas felt novel astonishment internally, Adbhuta. The servants began to dance, Dasya, and the young women cast glances from the corners of their eyes, Madhura. So we basically did all 12 rasas in one verse. And that's okay, because Krishna is involved now. Krishna is the Vishaya. Here is Krishna as the Ashraya. So Krishna is experiencing all 12 rasas. So forget about contradictions. Simultaneously, and that's okay because it's Krishna, he's inconceivable, that's the point. So Krishna is the Ashraya of all rasas. Though lifting up Govardhan, he remained without pride in himself. This is Shanta. When the small children became eager to hold up the mountain, he smiled. Hasya Vatsala towards the children. He spat at some bad smelling yogurt. I don't know where Rupa Goswami is getting this. He must be seeing it. He must be seeing it. So he spat at some bad smelling yogurt. This is Bibhatsa. He showed off his great strength in lifting the mountain for the benefit of his dear friends, Sakya and Veera. He displayed red eyes in looking at Indra, so anger, Rudra. He shed tears on seeing the suffering of the inhabitants of Raja from rain and wind, Karuna. He trembled in fear before the elders having destroyed the sacrifice to Indra, Dasya and Bhayanaka. His eyes opened wide with astonishment on seeing the great torrents of rain, Adbhuta. His hair stood on end when he saw the young girls, Madhura. May this master, the lifter of Govardhan, protect you.
Yeah.
So Krishna can be the Vishaya of all rasas, and he can at the same time be the Ashraya of all rasas, and there is no fault in this whatsoever. So that ends today's lecture. I have another lecture. I could start, but we don't have much time. So maybe if there's a discussion or questions.
So.
Just the ninth word.
I have one question.
I want to try to clarify my understanding of the structure and components of the primary and secondary rasas and the angi and anga rasas, because as far as I understand, and this is for correction or confirmation, there are primary and secondary rasas. Staibhav is always a primary rasa. And secondary rasas, gona rasas, they can be angi or anga, depending on their like intensity and prominence in relationship to the primary rasa. So this angi and anga, I guess, label or category is indicating the like hierarchy of the temporary hierarchy.
Temporary. It's a temporary classification.
Okay.
It's a temporary dominance of one or the other.
Okay. Of the relationship between a primary and secondary rasa.
That's right. So all secondary and primary, depending on whether secondary is angi or primary is angi. But the secondary rasas, Rupa Goswami seems to suggest, and I think I'm pretty sure this is correct, he seems to suggest that these secondary rasas are not really secondary rasas, they are really vyabhichari bhavas. Irrespective of what the combination is, what the conditions are.
Even this is my follow-up question, mm-hmm. Even if a secondary rasa is in the position of angi,
mm-hmm.
Meaning it has a longer kind of like manifestation, duration. It is still in the category of vyabhichari bhava.
No, you can see like that.
You can see like that. Because when actually the secondary rasa becomes an angi, that time the Brajavasi, we can say example of Mother Yashoda, she's relishing her Vatsala rasa still. But using the secondary rasa as a angi, her Vatsala rasa actually increased more. Say fear of Putana came so severe that she actually felt that Putana's presence. She's like seeing. So it can last, and if Mother Rohini Maya is nearby, she said, "Oh, it was horrible. It was 12 miles," and she can go on and have fear experience. But that does not remove her, that doesn't remove her Vatsala feeling ever lost. So maybe you can say secondary rasa when it became angi, then the primary rasa sits in the back, but it is actually still nourished. Because angi are the relisher. Jai Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna Balaram Gondkar Bhagavan Ki Jai. They look so beautiful. You want to chant? Bhattabhu, you want to chant? You have to play Madanga. Bhattabhu, what do you say? Thank you.